acknowledged in our Bill of Rights is the freedom to hear uncensored ideas and opinions, to think your own thoughts, and to say what's on your mind. We couldn't have liberty without it. Now, more than ever, it's good to spout off, to listen, debate, and participate. Here's your host of Spouting Off, commentator, columnist, and all-around rabble-rouser, Karen Cataline.
Well, here we are, the semi-fascist threats to democracy for disagreeing with the government. Karen Cataline with you. Thank you for joining us. We're going to talk about from the sublime to the ridiculous today on Spouting Off. I love talking to my friend Vic Porcelli. I try to post our interactions, our chats on Thursday morning out of St. Louis, St. Louis. KSTL in St. Louis. And he's given to mocking, you know, mockery of this. I'm given to brooding about it, I guess. We've got the left that controls the Democrat Party putting in the mouth of the presidential potted plant that anybody that disagrees with their policies, the government, anybody who dissents and says, word, I have a question, they are terrorists. They've called parents terrorists. They're calling Republicans as a whole terrorists. This is deadly dangerous, ladies and gentlemen, to call people terrorists and trump up, and not Donald Trump, trump up hate and persecution against them. I mean, the political motive is incredibly obvious, but what some people don't understand is that this is a tactic that has been used for time immemorial to scapegoat a population from the same people that have been warning us, lecturing us, constantly telling us about otherness, about turning a whole group of people into evil because of either the color of their skin or the religion that they have, or race, or creed, or color. This is what the left has been lecturing us about. But now they are legitimizing hate and persecution to certain groups. We know their enemies list because we've seen it again and again. People of the book, people who have faith, people who have religious values that they don't have, white people, men, straight people, people who love their country, people who fly a Gadsden flag, people who voted for Donald Trump, people who like Donald Trump, people who, I'm sorry, but it's such a, we know the list, people who revere the Constitution. Oh, yes. And people who love America are the people they think are terrorists. They want to convince the gullible that people who love America are racists and terrorists. They've already smeared the entire country as systemically racist and gotten away with it. This is demagoguery of the very first order. But what they're really doing and it's the same tactic. Think about it. When the Jews in World War II, and yes, I'm going to make Holocaust references, and yes, I'm not going to apologize about it. Please be clear, the 9 years leading up to the atrocities of the Holocaust involved the kind of robbing people of their civil rights, persecuting a group because of their religion or their color or their whatever, as a collectivist way to persecute people who don't agree with you, and then scaring the public and saying, this is the reason for your trouble. It's those Jews. If you listen, and I will continue to mention it, even though some people don't like it, because last I checked, if this was still America and you still could speak your mind, that's what Spouting Off is all about. Vera Sharov talked about how the Holocaust survivor talked about how Jews were called vermin and lice. Jews were the lowest people of the world, but also were gypsies and anybody deemed to be undesirable for any reason. And this is pure bigotry, no matter what Whoopi Goldberg says. The Holocaust was based in the most ugly racism, the most ugly kind of bigotry. And nobody has a monopoly on hatred and bigotry. It should be denounced everywhere, not because it's illegal to hate in your heart, but because if you take actions to persecute, harm, otherwise rob people, harm them, murder them on the street, whatever, it is unconscionable. And there are laws against this. The left has twisted this inside out and backwards so that actions are, and I've said this many times, actions are speech and speech is violence. This is not accurate. If people want to hate Jews or any other group, there is not a constitutional right that says that people have a right not to be hated. If you have hate in your heart for a group of people because of the group they happen to belong to, if you have hate in your heart for an individual because of their religion or the color of their skin, then you're probably going to be a very awful, terrible person, and the universe will pay you back. But the government shouldn't. You know, the Constitution doesn't guarantee your right not to be disapproved of or even hated. The Constitution is supposed to protect your rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So it's actions that the government punishes, not words. However, the left is turning this upside down, inside out and backwards, and now they want to punish dissent. They want to turn anybody who does dissent into, believe it or not, deniers. So they're going to take Holocaust language and tell you you're an election denier, you're a climate denier, you're this denier, that denier. That entitles you to be hated, persecuted, and demeaned by the government. That's unconstitutional. When was it that the left decided that bigotry was okay and they could systemically drum up and whip up hate for their enemies and for people that disagree? Since when did they decide that dissent should be criminalized? Well, that is a tactic of the left, but once upon a time, the left claimed to be interested in free speech and in dissent, and there's nothing wrong with disagreeing with the administration in charge. I've got an antique audio that I'm about to play for you. We remember this well. This was way back in George W. Bush's time, when Hillary Clinton went to a rally, and this audio was played again and again and again because of the screeching, out of control nature of what she was saying. She was saying that we're allowed to disagree with any administration. And she said it with such conviction, but she now and the entire left to which she belongs does not believe that her opposition, people who disagree with her on ideas, have a right to disagree. Let's hear Hillary Clinton not all that long ago. Go.
I am sick and tired of people who say that if you debate and you disagree with this administration, somehow you're not patriotic. And we should stand up and say we are Americans and we have a right to debate and disagree with any administration.
Doesn't she sound a little bit out of control? She sounds out of control because at that point in her life, she was in the minority. And we have a right to disagree with any administration. You're not being unpatriotic because you're not disagreeing. Now, her party, the people who lectured us about their rights to dissent, are now calling those that dissent against their policies, you know, like loan forgiveness and teaching gender dysphoria to 7-year-olds and putting pornography on the shelves of public schools, the more radical and the more they threaten our republic, the more they point the finger at you and me who don't want them to and call us terrorists. You get that? That's what they're doing. It's a tactic. And sadly, it works. It works with very gullible people whom they want to subjugate. Furthermore, they will not stop with simply name-calling. They won't. What they are trying to do is a very diabolical plan to put targets on people who disagree and make it okay, allow the gullible public, and there's fewer of them than there used to be, the gullible public to stand by and watch as their fellow citizens are persecuted, prosecuted, demonized. You know, like January 6th, do you think they're going to stop with people in January 6th and showing them cruelty and putting them in solitary? Remember when the left was against solitary confinement for murderers? But their political enemies, they'll put in solitary confinement. If this doesn't concern you, then you're not paying attention. And I know you're paying attention because you're listening to Spouting Off here on 1590 AM WSMN and 95.3 FM. I have only a couple more minutes. This combative rhetoric must be countered at all costs. Here's an article. And by the way, Biden is giving a speech tonight. I think that the audio clips will come out in droves about what he said, including the ones in which he flat out lies. I'm allowed to say this. I'm an American. When he said, for example, and you heard in the before me, talking about how the bullet of an AR-15 travels 10 times as fast, right, than any other gun. Is he telling the truth? Does he have a clue where he is, what he's saying, why? Does he have any clue? Does he have standing to lecture you about the soul of America? I encourage you to watch the videos if you want to see his speech after the fact. I will not be watching live. If there are videos, I'll probably watch them. But this person has no credibility, no standing to be lecturing anyone about the heart and soul of America when he remains among the most corrupt presidents in the history of this country. Am I allowed to say this? Yes, this is America. I'm allowed to speak. Words are not violence. I am not inciting violence. I'm saying this so that you can feel free to speak out, because all of these actions are being used to suppress you from speaking out, to scare you into not saying anything angry. Anger is not there isn't a law against anger in this country. There isn't a law against being upset about people who are trying to destroy our country. Okay? Just remember, these are not laws. There is no law. We could have a whole nother discussion about freedom of speech, but freedom of expression is a God-given right, and that's why dissent is so very important. People can civilly disagree without doing violence to one another. Very important to make that distinction. We do have to take a break. You hear that music. And when we come back, we're going to have a tremendous guest. I'll tell you about him when we come back. You're listening to Spouting Off. And oh my, there's lots to spout off about here in the United States of America, Radio Free America. We'll be right back after this.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. Thanks to your support, you've helped make MyPillow become one of the fastest growing companies in America. Over the last 12 years, you've helped MyPillow create thousands of jobs right here in the USA. Every MyPillow is made with passion here in my home state of Minnesota to ensure you get the best sleep of your life.
One of the things that I really like about MyPillow is the support. It gives my neck a little hug.
I've never slept better in my life. What's better than a great night's sleep?
Call or go online to take advantage of my best offer ever. For a limited time, when you use your promo code, you can get premium MyPillows regularly $69.98, now only $29.98. With our 60-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose.
Sleep well, America!
Call 1-800-867-0416 and use the promo code RAM, R-A-M. That's 1-800-867-0416 and use the promo code RAM.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
And now, more Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Welcome back, everyone, to Spouting Off. What a pleasure to have you along with us. I'm going to just jump right in. Well, no, let me give you a quick programming note. Tomorrow, there will be another episode of Spouting Off at 1 p.m. Eastern. The details are at my website. The first segment is live and call-in, and the other two, it's a little bit different clock, but it's 1 hour. And there will be way more to spout off about. So go to my website, KarenCataline.com. The bio of my next guest has language in it that the left would like you to stop using because it's semi-fascist. So I'm going to read you the first line of our next guest's bio and a little more, because the words therein are not semi-fascist. They're actually the opposite. Jeff Burmant is a patriot. That's the word they don't want you to use. God forbid he should be a patriot. Who loves the United States of America with all his heart. That too is semi-fascist. That's why he's putting his money where his mouth is. And he founded something called Tusk, a web browser to compete again with Google, Safari, and others with no censorship. That's why he loves America. He graduated from USC with a major in US history, and Jeff founded one of the largest real estate development groups in Santa Barbara, California. I hope he's not there anymore. California, oh my. So we got lots to talk about with Jeff Burmant. Welcome, Jeff, to Spouting Off. Great to have you.
Thank you, Karen, and pleasure to be here, and thank you for talking about my past. Just a little bit, I am in California, and I am in Santa Barbara, no less, and I happen to have dinner, you'll enjoy this, with Matt and his wife, Ginger Gates, a week ago. And I got some people coming up to the table and saying hello to Matt, and I got home, and my wife told me I got a lot of dirty looks, too.
You got a lot of dirty looks because of Matt
Dirty
Gaetz.
Looks like I'm having, why am I having dinner? I'm in the hub of a very liberal place.
Right.
Why am I having dinner with Matt and Ginger? And my answer was because I enjoy their company.
Well, and you should have to answer to total strangers as to why you're having dinner with somebody they don't approve of. I mean, that's America, right? I mean, this is nuts. And the media encourages and incites this sort of thing. The media is telling people you're evil if you associate with people that disagree with us. It's unbelievable. And God forbid, we should stop using words like patriot and love America and, even the word let's see. It's amazing. They have made words off limits. Oh, this is what I heard. I heard that the term monkeypox is racist. Did you know that?
I had heard that as well. But, I'm not surprised by all the PC words. They want you to change your life to talk about in California right now, they're, you know, obviously they're talking about, well, you got to own an electric car. And then yesterday they announced, hey, you can't really power your car between 4 and 9 p.m. because we just don't have enough power. I mean, the world's upside down with this kind of stuff.
Well, it's a trap. First, they trap you into their environment, and then they sabotage you in that environment, right? I mean, we've seen this again and again. Or the old adage, the government breaks your leg and then hands you a crutch. Although in this case, they're not even handing people crutches. They're breaking the other leg. That being said, you came on to talk primarily, not entirely, about how to this very day, a former president for which well over 80-something million people voted and the left thinks we're all semi-fascist, whatever that means, has still been banned from Facebook and Twitter. Unbelievable. And you have something that's an antidote to that, and you have some opinions about that. So let me turn it over to you.
Oh, thank you. Well, let me say this, first of all, the banning, the shadow banning, and it's pretty obvious that a lot of this is now being promoted by the government. So the government is
clearly
not supposed to be in the business of propaganda. Obviously, the story about the Biden laptop, where now we found out, not that I'm surprised, that the government was involved, the FBI was involved, and many of the members of the FBI, let me say, are great Americans. But they're at the top. There seems to be an issue out there of politicizing the FBI. And this is what, I mean, you talk about totalitarian societies. This is, I was an American history major, so I'm an expert, almost an expert, in a lot of the history, including World War II, where you really did see fascism. There's no such thing as semi-fascism. There's just fascism or not. And I would,
well, they'll call us that
list
next week. Just so you know, we'll be fascist by next week for sure.
Yeah,
that
may be,
even though they're practicing it.
Right. Yeah. That's my point. My point is that, you know, when they're calling the kettle black, you know, obviously they're not looking at themselves because they're the ones that want to censor you. They're the ones that want you to believe something about COVID that isn't true. And so I decided a year ago, I got really fed up, and I'm a technologist. I actually did run a real estate company and still do. But I decided that I was going to take some of my money, own personal money, and build a browser, because we build browsers for a living, that would be more of a freedom of speech. Now, what I mean by freedom of speech is that we actually serve the conservative movement. So when you come on our browser, instead of getting the typical news feed that has a lot of CNN and other, I'll say, woke channels or stations, we provide you with a conservative news feed. So you get to see what we think is much more truthful. And we also give you links so they're easy to use. And that means it's kind of like out of the box. So you don't have to set anything up. If you're a conservative, you just come on and you can use it. And we're the first to do this. Everybody else in the browsing business, either neutral or really to the left. And that's our first step. That's not our last step, but our first step is to build a browser that will give you at least the news up. It's like an aggregate. It will give you all the news that's going on in, within 2 to 4 hours. And then it's conservative. But here's the but. But if you want to, you can go in and change all those. You want to see more liberals speak, easy enough to do, easy to check the box, and you'll get, you know, other CNN or ABC or whatever else you like.
Well, Jeff, also, forgive me for just a minute, Jeff. I wanted to make sure I had your name right. I was not on that page. Jeff,
I'm called
for those
at home.
I got it. For those people who might be upset or whatever, of course, they wouldn't take advantage of your browser and say, well, you're only giving the conservative point of view. Look at the amount of media that is controlled and manipulated and spoon-fed us from the other side. spoon-fed us.
And that's
from movies to Hollywood, all of it, right?
Right, and that's what I'm trying to combat. Now, in the future, we may, you know, we'll give you more choices. But to start, I just want the right to have a say and to hear the news so they're not fishing around. Now, just so you know, this doesn't solve the ultimate problem of search. Search is a much bigger problem. So we do have search. We will have our first phase of Tusk search, but it won't be the ultimate. The ultimate is we build our own search engine so that when you do a search, I don't know how many of your listeners have done this, but if you type something in on all the search engines, which includes Google, Yahoo, MSN, you'll end up with left-leaning information, right? And so our goal is to raise enough money and build our own search engine that will give you whatever you choose, but when you choose it, you'll get it.
So, Jeff, I'm on your site right now, or it's tuskbrowser.com, and it says the free speech browser. The question a lot of people want to know is the free speech browser free, or do you got to pay for it?
Oh, no, it's free. We do advertising, so we do make money off of that, but it is free. And, you know, eventually we'll provide a VPN. We'll provide more privacy. When we build our own, we're somewhat handcuffed as to providing more privacy. Our provider won't let us do that quite yet, but when we build our own search engine, so my march is to build a search engine that will give you more privacy, like a DuckDuckGo or even better, because you'll know at least who's controlling the back end. You'll know that it's conservatives that are controlling the back end, and, you know, we're here to protect you.
Well, I hope you use different language than we're here to protect you. That's what the government tells us. We're going to protect you. But I do understand what you're saying. Is your site, is this browser fully operational that people can start using it right now? Or is this something that's going to happen in the future?
Nope, the browser is up and running. The search engine's not running yet. But the browser, you can choose when you come on, you can choose another search engine. We have DuckDuckGo. We have a number of them that you can choose from. But the browser's up. It's, you can go to tuskbrowser.com, T-U-S-K, browser.com, or you can go to either the Apple Store or the Android Store and type in Tusk Browser, and it will come up. It takes about 20 seconds to load, and you're in business.
So here's another question that I bet you get all the time. Anything these days, because you've seen that they have escalated, this radical left, communist left, has escalated their attacks on their opponents well beyond the scope of anything constitutional or humane or rational or decent. Really, when you start demonizing and, you know, in the plan to start persecuting people because of their beliefs, I mean, you're into a whole nother territory that America was never meant to be. That being said, anything that claims to be conservative on the internet is going to be targeted 100-fold, 1,000-fold. Tell us about that end of it.
Yeah, you're right. It's a little scary out there. We're working on picking providers that will not shut us down, that will not censor us. We don't want to go through an awful situation like Pollard went through. The good news for us is we're just bringing you the news and search. We aren't in the radical, let's say, discussions. It's just simply a way to get the news as soon as you can, to get easy to access to conservative sites and eventually a conservative search. So do I expect issues? Probably, but I think we're prepared for that. We're working on making sure we can protect the site from vicious attacks.
I'm a fan of certain sites that stepped in after the Drudge Report went liberal. And I think he was forced out and told to shut up about it. I don't know. That's just a hunch. But the Drudge Report is no longer what it was, even remotely. So there are sites like the Liberty Daily, and to a lesser extent, I personally am not crazy about it, the populist press. But, you know, they've tried to be what the Drudge used to be by aggregating news. Is that what your site is sort of comparable to then?
Yeah, very much so. So, for instance, if you just take us out of the box, so to speak, just turn us on, you'll get, as your easy-to-use links, you'll get Fox News, Daily Wire, OAN. And I'm trying to find more sites that have a lot more free information. Some of them, you'll see us changing some out. I'm really all about free press, too. I mean, free so that right. You can read everything you want. You're not stuck having to sign up for something. So that's part of it. Our out-of-the-box news feed is all conservative. As I said, you can go in and easily change it up so you can get exactly the sites you want. And if you don't have one that's there, you just request for us, and we'll see about putting it on our next.
What about blogger sites and conservative people that like, I don't know, Dan Bongino or other people that are out there doing blogging and have sites with news? Do you put those up too?
Dan Bongino is one of our links. I really enjoy listening to Dan. I think he's an amazing guy. You can, if you don't see it on there, it's easy enough just to type it in and make it a permanent link. Or you can go into our news feed and see if it's in our news feed. And if it's not in the news feed, certainly feel free to request something. We don't mind, adding more to it.
Okay. Well, we have almost no time left. We have about 30 seconds. Tell everybody again where they can go to participate in Tusk, and that's what we need to do. Go ahead.
So remember, we're building freedom. We're keeping freedom. And I'd like people to, and the more people we have, the more I can raise the funds to build the search engine, which is the ultimate. It's Tusk Browser, T-U-S-K, browser.com. And they're both in Android Store, iOS, and desktop.
And you can also get it on your computer as well, right? You don't have to do it on your phone. Yep. A lot of people do it on their phone.
You can do desktop and just go to tuskbrowser.com, choose your PC or your Apple. We don't have Linux. That's the one thing we don't have.
Got to run. Jeff Berment, thank you so much for joining us, and thank you for forging your own path. That's what America's all about. We appreciate it. Take care.
Thanks, Karen.
My pleasure. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we got another author. Can't wait to tell you about him when we come back. Karen Cataline, you're listening to Spouting Off.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Hi, it's Karen Cataline. It's been almost a decade since I wrote Fat Lash Food Police and the Fear of Thin. It's about my early experiences in child beauty pageants and being put on extreme diets. Remember when that was shocking? Sadly, that seems like child's play compared to what we are watching today when politicians and woke corporations are actually advocating for the sexualization of children. Everyone's children. We're watching a frontal attack on childhood innocence. This is one story, my story. Fat Lash illustrates and explains why good boundaries are essential for kids to grow up healthy. They need their parents to set them, not the government. Get Fat Lash today. It's available in paperback or ebook at Amazon or at my website, KarenCataline.com.
And now, more Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Welcome back, everyone, to Spouting Off. We are plowing ahead here, headed towards the end of the week, but we're at a brand new month. Boy, right after Labor Day, you're going to see things escalate, like the speech that's happening tonight to call well more than half the country terrorists, fascists, a threat to democracy, anything we do to them is okay. We must disabuse people of the notion that any of that is true. It's dangerous. It's as divisive as anything I've ever seen in politics, possibly in my whole life. The collectivist notion, the bigotry, the hate, the division is just over the top scary. Well, I have the pleasure of welcoming back, I don't think I've introduced him to you personally yet, somebody that I spent a little time actually tracking down because I liked his writing. His name is David Ricciolotta. He writes for the Sons of Liberty Media. He earned a master's degree of professional writing from Liberty University, excuse me, in October 2020. And he's a social worker like me. He got a bachelor's degree. I got a master's. It doesn't matter. Northeastern State University. And he's published at least a couple of books. And he has a new book out about critical race theory. We're going to talk to him all about that right now. David Ricciolotta joins us here on our guest line on Spouting Off. Thanks for joining us, David.
Hey, Karen. How are you?
It is good to have you, and I'm glad that you let me know that your book was coming out. I'm right on your site right now in defense of our nation, and tell us about this book. It's an e-book, so it's really easy to get for anybody. Tell everybody why you thought it was so important to write this book and give us a little taste of what's in it.
Well, I think a lot of people have a basic understanding of what critical race theory is. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on, like at the local school boards, parents showing up and they're contesting the teachings that are going on in elementary school that are, you know, that revolve around race and, you know, America's a racist nation, America is this and America's that. But that isn't really critical race theory. And that's a, I think that's an important distinction, because when you start diving into the words of the scholars and the critical race researchers, William Tate, for example, he's the president of Louisiana State University. He said, and I'm going to quote this the best I can, that critical race theory is not something to be taught to the undergraduate. It is a research model used by PhDs and law school students to analyze law and social policy in the United States. So when you look at things from that perspective, you know, the anti-racist lessons that are taking place in elementary school are not necessarily teaching fifth graders how to analyze law or social policy as much as it is as they're trying to get them to just change the way they view American society,
you know. So which, of course, is the difference, right? Forgive me. Let me just interrupt here. Forgive me. You say it is a political tool for conditioning. That's what you say in your description. Talk about that. And I know you were ahead of that, but just want to make sure.
Yeah. So my contention is that at the elementary school level, that's exactly what it is. It's a tool of political conditioning meant to rewrite the way the children view their country and their culture and even themselves. And as an example, you know, like chapter two of the book discusses all of this. And I think the last time we talked, I think I had told you that my experience at Northeastern State, we had to write a paper on our white privilege, right? And then we had to stand in front of the classroom and describe how we didn't know how our white privilege was affecting other people. Okay. So when you go,
That's conditioning too, of course. That is absolutely punishment, humiliation, indoctrination through humiliation and abuse. That's what that is.
Exactly. And that's, I'm glad that you said that, because if you go in this book, I cited The Rape of the Mind, The Battle for the Mind, Communism in China, all kinds of different writings that describe the brainwashing process that was actually used by the Chinese communists during the Great Revolution, or the Cultural Revolution, the Great Leap Forward is what they called it. And those things that you just mentioned, the fear of standing out, the fear of being humiliated, isolated from other people, all of those are great tools to condition people to, at the very least, not stand up and express their opinions, you know, and in some cases, some people are far more susceptible to it, and their, yes, their beliefs and their attitudes can completely be changed.
Exactly. That. Remember when we used to, when parents used to tell their kids to resist social pressure, now their school imposes social pressure on them. It, we've talked about this. I don't want to get too far afield, but it sounds very cult-like to the same kind of brainwashing that's done in religious cults, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, it is. And there's some things that I mentioned about that. And there's some, a couple articles that I've talked to, I've written about the relationship too. One of the books I cited has a whole chapter on who was it? I think the Calvinist religion might it have been. Use the same techniques to I'm a Christian and all that, but there is a history of that, using fear and social isolation to get people to change their religious beliefs, for sure.
Yeah, it's amazing and an anathema to America that was built on religious pluralism and built on civil dissent and disagreement, and so. Talk to us about the racial component of CRT. First, I want everybody to hear the name of the book. So if you'd like to get it, because we always are a little rushed at the end of interviews. It's called A Critical Look at CRT in Education and Research and Social Policy, Exposing the Real Racism in America, Kindle Edition, by David Risselada, R-I-S-S-E-L-A-D-A. Talk about the racial component.
Okay, so I think everybody has a general idea, you know, like you hear words like reverse racism and so forth and so on. With critical race theory, I cited researchers and authors in here that actually talk about using race as a weapon to achieve their political goals. And Marcus Garvey, for example, used the term the disabilities of race. Okay, so when you look at critical race theory, everybody can kind of see that there's this belief driving it that, like, say, black students can't achieve the same as whites in math or something like that, right? But I don't believe that. I don't think a lot of people do believe that. But these people are trying to create that perception by, on one hand, they'll say, well, race and education is just a social construct. You know, that's one of the tenets of critical race theory, is social constructionism. Achievement is a social construct. Meritocracy.
Okay, explain what a social construct is for our listeners, in case, because we've heard that, but of course they never define it. What's a social construct?
Just creating something to benefit the dominant social group, so to say.
White people, America's a racist country, and anybody who voted for Trump is a fascist. Like that.
Right.
That's a construct. Okay.
Right. The traditional norms that we understand as gender, to them, are social constructs. We made that because it benefits the dominant social structure.
Okay.
So on one hand, they argue that race is a social construct. And then on the other, they turn around and say that efforts to diminish the welfare system are attacks against blacks, because welfare is vital for black communities. So you can't really have that both ways. You can't say that race is a social construct and then use the issue of race when arguing for welfare. But that's what they do.
Yeah, but you can, when you're a Democrat, you can argue for women's rights. You can argue for women's rights in one breath, and the very next breath, you can say, I can't define what a woman is.
That's right.
That's
and that's the exact same mentality with these critical race, and I think you hit the money on the head. That's something that you find primarily in the Democrat Party, because they're primarily made up of Marxist and Alinskyites who operate from a means justify the ends mentality, And, you know, and I touched on that at the end of the book on the solutions and our final thoughts and solutions, because that's the, you know, they are willing to corrupt themselves to whatever level necessary to bring the change that they're bring
this
about the change that they're seeking.
Heartbreaking. Let's go to, because we have some more time, let's use the rest of our time to talk about some of those solutions, because we get precious little of that today. And what I've heard it said more cogently than ever is that it's the few trying to control the many.
Mm-hmm.
So talk about the solutions to this, because the many are much more powerful than they know, but they don't know that they're many. So go
right.
ahead.
Well, you know, when it comes to talking about solutions, I'm of the opinion that a lot of people don't really understand what the problem is yet, you know. And, you know, it's easy to sit around and talk about, well, you know, these people are Marxists and this and that. But, you know, like Cleon Skousen said in The Naked Communist, if you study the problem, then you can come up with a solution. And then you, if you study the problem, you may, you know, reach a point of freedom for all men in our lifetime, is what he said. And so that's the approach that I take. And the deeper you dive into this, the more you realize that the Marxists have been organizing, and like critical race theory, in my opinion, is the culmination of, not the beginning of, an agenda. You know, if you really study critical race theory, you see all the Marxist elements in it. You see the efforts that people have put into it, the organization that's behind it. And so to come up with a solution, you have to understand the problem. And I think too many people, they want, my friend Tim Brown from Sons of Liberty Media, he put it this way when I talked to him, they want the silver bullet solution, that they can take the one shot and it's going to solve the problem. And it's not going to work that way with critical race theory, because it's been embedded into our education system, into our legal system, into our society since the 1930s, when they brought critical theory from the Frankfurt School of Social Research to Columbia University, you know, and so.
Okay,
from
so
there,
let's say we understand it, but what do we do about it? I mean, okay so, we don't want a silver bullet, but what do you do? You don't just stand by and watch it and do nothing, do you? What do you do?
No, I think that what you have to do is you have to become the change that you want to see. You know, so we all know that if we send our kids to school, they're getting indoctrinated. But yet at the same time, we still send them there, and then we go about our lives pursuing our own little individual pursuits of happiness, which is great because that's what America is meant for. But we're at a point right now where we have a group of people that have been organized for the past 100 years pushing to fundamentally transform this country. And in order to stop that, we kind of have to do the same thing. You know what I mean? We kind of have to put, unless it's going to come straight down to a fist fight for the soul of the country, you know, we kind of have to abandon.
We have to do the same thing. What? What is the same thing we have to do, you're saying?
We have to organize, and we have to get into the institutions of influence. We have to become the teachers, become the social workers, become the people that are changing the way people think.
I hate to ask this question, David Risalata, but I have to. Is it too late for that?
No.
Because
no.
We're watching already dissent being punished.
Right.
They're purging our military with from patriots.
Well, the one thing I know is that if you think it's too late, then it is. I don't think it's too late.
Sense of having a 100-year plan. We got to have a faster plan than that, don't we?
Well, that's the thing. You vote, but what difference is voting made? That doesn't make any difference. You know what I mean? I mean, you have Democrats that get into office by running as Republicans. I think there was something that broke out in the news not too long ago about that.
That is happening. They're out and out lying. Would they do that? Yeah, heck, they would do it.
Yeah.
So give us something positive that, you know, we only got 3 minutes left. You know, that what you're saying is be the teacher, be the social worker. What else can we do that has at least a faster... something.
Well, I like to think that if you call people out on all of this, that's kind of one of the reasons why I wrote this book, is so people can read it. They can see the words of the scholars. They can develop cognizant arguments. One thing that drove me crazy in school was, and I'll say this as quick as I can, we were watching a video one day about Obamacare. This was when Obamacare was the hot topic of the day. And this little Uncle Sam figure was running around taking money from one group of people and giving it to another so they could have health care. And I was about to stand up and say something like I usually do, but the people behind me told me, shh, you know, because they didn't want to piss off the left-leaning professor. You know what I mean? Right. So I think that's part of the problem right there, is there's not enough people that are willing to put themselves out there, put their neck out on the line. They care more about the degree than they do about principle. That's one example. You know, so I think people have to be able to develop arguments. If they're going to go to the school boards, well, then they got to take it past beyond the school board and look at who's writing the policies and challenge them at that level as well. You know, the one thing is absolutely true, Karen, is that this has to be challenged. However it gets challenged, it has to be challenged.
Well, and there's no doubt. I like to talk about the good news because there is no doubt that defiance to tyranny and pushback has slowed some processes down. It's really about the only thing that has. That's why they want to punish defiance, because that's, and hold fast to the things that they find most objectionable, which is your faith, your family, your rights to speak up, your God-given rights to speak up. So yeah, that pushback has made a difference. I report on that often. And so I think you're absolutely on the right track. Congratulations on this book. Let's just end with telling people where they can find it. This ebook, A Critical Look at CRT.
But right now it's available on Amazon. I have a paperback in the works, cover getting designed and all that.
Great. David Risselata, R-I-S-S-E-L-A-D. Sorry to interrupt there. We got to run. Thank you so much for joining us, David. Well, that about, my pleasure, that about does it for us this week in the Live Free or Die State, or anywhere that podcasts are found. Join me tomorrow at 1 p.m. for more Spouting Off. Link is at my website. Thanks to everyone that makes Spouting Off possible. And keep on spouting off, standing up, and speaking out.